Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to see everybody here today. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We just want to tell you where we're standing now on the Christmas benefit. We're doing our 15th annual Christ Haven for Christmas benefit. And we not only help Christ Haven, but we help Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. We help the Justin Community Clothes Closet, which was started because the elementary kids school kids were lacking clothes. And then we also do the Salvation Army in Denton. We do the Justin Nursing Home, and we do 8 nursing homes in Denton. And we also do we actually do Wings of Hope, who gives to Grace and to Lena Pope Home. So it kind of all comes around. So far we've raised $69,855. You can clap. And I've earned $3,980 cold cash, which I get to spend next week, which is really good. We've blessed 3,557 children and 15 families. You can clap on that one, too. That's a lot. That's a lot. You have no idea. Kim and Kathy and who else went with us the other night? It was Evelyn and Janessa and Sarah. They all went and they helped. We have some of the people in the church are helping. Paula Sue over here, she brought 2 mango...
Fresh mango
pancakes. One of them is sold. There's one left. Oh, it just got sold. Well, there you go. It's kind of like an auction up here. Do what? I should auction them off. Well, I believe that the Lord should move on everybody's heart, and you should give what the Lord tells you, you know. We also have the girls. Y'all want to stand up? Did you bring your cake and cookies today? And your... Okay, the 3 girls, those are Rebecca, Nina, and Mira, and they made special a homemade from scratch chocolate cake and chocolate chip cookies, right? Yeah. No, wait a minute. What did you do? You only made cookies this time? Okay. They have a plate of cookies in there, which they will sell when everything's over. And then also they have hair clips. Did you bring your hair clips? And they're like $1, $2. Last week, they sold their hair clips, and they gave $145 to the Christmas benefit. So they're giving. Their little card says, "I'm a princess, and every girl must sparkle."
Yeah.
So they're only like $1, $2. But, you know, like I bought 4, and I gave them 20. So, you know, go with what the Lord tells you. Who is there? Oh, Dee. Is Dee here? No, she's not here, but Adrian's here. In the kitchen, we have, there's an embroidered set of tea towels, and there's an embroidered, what do you call
candle
that?
Wicking.
Candle wicking.
It's a picture.
Okay, that she embroidered. Okay, so they're at the end of the table, and we also, Adrian brought a plate of cookies, so you can buy those too, and I don't know what kind of cookies, but I know they're good because Dee's a great cook.
Yes.
So there you go. Okay, and Grace, what did you bring? Wow. Love you. Haven't tried her grandma's homemade from scratch old-fashioned banana pudding. It's the bomb. So she brought 6, but 4 were sold, and we have 2 left of those. And so they're all in the kitchen. Bring her the money and bring the Solomon girls the money and give Adrian the money. Or if you put it in the offering, be sure if you give anything for the Christmas, put Christmas or children on it, because if you don't, then it doesn't go to that, okay? So we're just blessed. We're blessed. I have, I think, 3 weeks. I think that's all I have is 3 weeks. I have 3 weeks, folks. So help me, help me, help me, help me. Send money home.
Praise the Lord.
The children are asking for money.
Yes,
anyway, God bless everybody that's helping. God bless everyone that's been wrapping. We still have a few things to wrap, but it's coming together. I still have 3 gifts for Christ Haven that I have not gotten yet. Walmart messed me up on one telephone. I got it on sale for $347, mega on sale. It's iPhone 6, and it's refurbished. Well, they didn't process it correctly, and now to buy the same phone is $444, which I wrote them, but they haven't done anything yet. We'll see what they do. And then and my husband told me to pray about it, which I did. I did. I prayed. And then,
Bless them,
Walmart.
Lord.
We love Walmart. Yes. And
yes,
bless you,
Lord.
Walmart. And guitar lessons. I haven't got that arranged. I am talking to a Christian man. He said if it was me doing it, he said because he plays keyboard and does voice, he said I would give it free, but he said I have to pay my guitar guys. So he's trying to work out a deal. And then also ASI and Keller, which is the gymnastic place, one little 8-year-old, she wants cheerleading and gymnastics scholarship type thing, and they haven't responded yet. So if anybody wants to help support that, that would be great. We did buy the 75 Six Flags season passes. We did buy the Wyand Falls passes we needed. So we're doing pretty good. But again, we delivered yesterday to Justin. It was Justin Community Clothes Closet. We sent two cars full of totes to the top. There wasn't any more room in the cars. So they were like, I don't know, they got maybe 20 totes or something full of clothes, and it was a lot, and we really blessed them. So anyway, continue to help. We appreciate it. God bless everybody. Oh, one more thing. We finished our book yesterday. This is our book of the last year, and it's just really lovely. So if y'all want to pass it around, kind of glance at it and just pass it around, that'd be super, because Kelly did a fabulous job on it. She's like an artist, or she is an artist, and she just did a great job. She put all kinds of scriptures in there, and the other books are back there on the filming camera stand. Every year we take those books, and they come back, and they look at themselves through the past years, you know, because a lot of them have been there since we've been there. So anyway, we appreciate everything you're doing. God bless everybody, and as we said last week, when you give to the poor and the widows, you're in the orphans, you're loaning to God, and he sure appreciates it, because he doesn't need the money, but he likes to bless you.
Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. The book that Franz has got up here, you know, we're going to have church now, and I don't want that book being passed around while we're having church. That is totally out of the question. You know, we got enough things to deter us from what we're going to do, and we don't want a book. So that's just, you know, I'm a mean guy. And that's just the way life is. If y'all hadn't learned it yet, I'm just like God. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. So praise God. When we have church, we have church. And, you know, I remember one time I was standing up here, and there was a young boy right out there, and he had his little phone, and he was just going to town. We were having a healing school. I mean, I jumped right in the middle of that kid. I told him, I said, you know, you don't listen to a phone in my church. I said, in my church, you listen to what I have to say. Now, you put that phone up and pay attention. Do you hear me, son? Boy, let me tell you what, did I get that boy's attention? Why did I know how to do that? Because I'd done something stupid like that, and a pastor done the same thing to me when I was a kid. And I never forgot it. Any of y'all ever been called down for doing something like that? And you sure don't want to be called down like that in church, right? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. But I'm telling you what, I am a happy guy today. Everything's going good. And I tell you what I would like for everybody to do to start off with today. I know that this church must be full of men and women that love God. Because you went out and voted. And you put in a new president. I want us to just stand up and praise the Lord for our new president. Lord, we praise you. We thank you that you're in charge, and we thank you that you've given us a man that'll listen to Christian counsel, a man that's not a Muslim, a man that's a Christian. And the vice president is an awesome man of God. A man that loves God, Lord, we speak a blessing upon all of them. Now, Lord, all those that are going out, the Obamas and the Clintons and all those, we ask you to show them the wisdom they need, the revelation they need from God's word. Just like Dave said a while ago, we're going to speak a blessing upon them. They need to be blessed, Lord, and we are sons and daughters, and we know how to bless. We bless the Lord, and we bless these people. We want them to be blessed. We want them to be blessed financially. We want them to be blessed with knowledge and wisdom from God's Word. And we want them to come to know Jesus, because we don't want nobody to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Nobody. So, Lord, we ask you to bless everybody. You know, and give them that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding. And, Master, we just want to praise you. We just want to thank you that you're the King of Kings, because we know you said in your Word that no man is in power. No man is in power except you put them there. So, Lord, I know you put Obama in for a reason. I know you put Hillary Clinton into where she had a reason. I know you've now put Donald Trump in because you have a reason. And you've brought him up a man, a businessman, a man that can run this country. A man that's, you know, that's run businesses, multi-billion dollar businesses, and been very successful in life. And so, Lord, now I ask you to send the right men that'll meet with him on a regular basis, that'll have phone calls on a regular basis, that'll teach him, Donald Trump, the principles of the kingdom of God, that we may grow and have a great country again, a country that can do things, a country that can read the Bible in church, a place that can read the Bible in school, a place that can read the Bible anywhere and everywhere, that we can pray in the name, not in the name of God, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are the mighty God. And Lord, I just want to tell you how much I love you this morning, and how I praise you and thank you that you are the King of Kings and you're my King. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my healer. You're my Savior. You're my everything. And I'm so grateful that I know you, and I'm glad that these people all know you. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory. One more time before we sit down, I want everybody to shout as loud as you can, praise the Lord Jesus. Lord, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow.
No abortion. Do
what, honey?
No abortion.
Oh, yeah. And if there was anything that sold me on Donald Trump, of course, from day one, I knew we needed something so much different than what we had. Anything would be an improvement, you know. And I've had a few of the people I listened to in Washington said the same thing. But when I heard him say that last discussion they had, I will do, and they asked him, and I've heard every president ask this, or president-elect or whatever, to be elected or whatever, have been asked this question, what will you do with abortion? And they never give you an answer. They beat around the bush. They're trying to please this bunch, and they're trying to please this bunch. And so they're trying to answer the question where they make everybody happy. But Donald Trump said, I'll do everything in my power to stop abortion. That is the answer I wanted to hear. Now, that obviously is not what these people that are out there demonstrating, protesting now 3, 4, 5 nights in a row and several 8 or 10 cities across the United States. But those people's eyes have been blinded to the truth. They don't know what you and me know. If they knew what we knew, they would be in church this morning. You know, they would have gone out and voted. I just wonder, you know, that the people that are being paid, those protesters that are being paid by different organizations to go out and do what they're doing. This was my thought the other night when we were running up down the streets of Dallas and everything else. I thought, you know, I'd like to just get up to each one of them one at a time and say, did you vote? Did you vote? Wouldn't it be interesting to know how many of those that are raising Cain that Trump is not my president, that they didn't even vote? You know, there's a lot of people that didn't vote. But we had a lot of people did vote this time. Because we did a lot of praying and a lot of praising and a lot of thanking the Lord for things. And so, do you know 84% of the Christian, white Christian evangelicals voted?
Yes.
84%, they've never done that, never in history. And when I talk about the white people, the really good black people, and the really good Hispanics and everything else, all those people, regardless of color, those people that love Jesus, that really love Jesus, they voted for Donald Trump. They voted for him. That's why he's going to be and is going to be the next president of the United States of America. You know, and I thought about what Putin said when he said, if Hillary Clinton had gotten to be president, we would be at war with y'all right now. No, but he said, Hillary Clinton wants war with Russia. Isn't that sad? He wants, but he says, you know, we'll do everything we can to get to know America better now that y'all have got a new president. I thought to myself, I know that only a few of you men in this room, and that's probably, I hope, no women have ever been to war, have really, really been to war. But let me tell you what, war is hell. It ain't no fun. And whenever a president in one country and a president in another country decide to go to war and they kill thousands and thousands and millions of their men. Do you know in World War I there was about 12 million people died? You know how many 12 million people is? But do you know in World War II, a few years later, you know how many died in World War II? 52 million. 52 million men and women died in World War II. World War III is coming. I don't know when. I hope we can put it off for a while. But we know that the four angels in the River Euphrates is going to be released at a certain time and a certain day and a certain minute and a certain second. Those four angels are going to be released on the River Euphrates and they're going to start a war. And that war is going to kill one third of mankind. One third. Now then, at today's number of people on the earth, that's over 2 billion people. 2 billion, not 2 million, 2 billion people. Now then, somebody said, that's never going to happen. Oh, yeah. If it's written in the book, we all know it's going to happen, don't we? We just don't know when. It's not if it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So let me tell you, if there was ever a time in history to walk in love, to do what the Lord says, to be a man or a woman of God that will spend time with your family, that will spend time teaching your children and your wife the principles of the kingdom of God, praying over your wife and your children, showing them things. In fact, I had a couple here yesterday. We asked him to make us some copies of some books and things, print some stuff. And he gave us a good, really good deal. You know, and I didn't know till later. He was a Southern Baptist, and he goes to the Baptist church. And as he's printing these books, he said, I never read the material I print. I just print it. But he said, I'm printing this book called God's Power. And the Lord told me, now he's a Southern Baptist. The Lord told him, you need to read that book. He said, the Lord laid that on my heart so strong, you need to read that book. And he said, Lord, so anyway, he thought, okay, I'll take it out, take one of them out, the finished product, and I'll read a few sentences. He said, I read a few sentences, and I thought, man, this is interesting. So he said, I read a few more sentences. And he said, I thought, this is becoming more. He said, God is doing these kind of things, and I'm a Christian, I'm in church, and I didn't know this. So he said, I've got another one of those books and give it to one of my sons. And says, he got two sons, two grown sons. He said, read this book and see what you think. He said, they read the book. He said, they just couldn't believe it. He said, it come back and he said, Dad, if this book is true, we're in trouble. How many of y'all know God's word is true? Yes. It's very true. Well, it lit their fire. Now then he stood here yesterday and told me, said, it all makes sense, Thurman, for the first time in my life. I've been a Christian, and his wife said, I've been a Christian since I was a tiny girl. But they said the word of God, some of it, have never made any sense to us until we read this book, God's Power. Now we understand what's going on. Our eyes are not blinded. Now we know we can pray for things. We can ask God for things. And we're not trying to convince God to do things. He's already done it for us. So he said, man, he said, I'm teaching these principles. Now I'm reading the Bible to my family at home on a regular basis. He said, I just can't get enough of God's word.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? I told him, I said, you know, where you're at right now, keep seeking the Lord. Keep serving him. Keep doing what he says, because he told you to read that book. He has a plan. And I said, you know what that plan is? As you read this book and meditate on these principles, it won't be long. You'll start praying for people everywhere you go, just like I did. I said, you'll start seeing things happen. And then one day, you'll be looking for somebody to print you a book. Do y'all know that? You'll have your own book. Is that right, Tony? Yeah, you'll have your own book. I guarantee when you learn who you are and you learn that you're a son or a daughter of God and that all these principles of the kingdom belongs to you, it'll change your life, won't it, Mike? Amen. It'll change your life. And it'll change you to the point you have to really be careful of this, because even as long as I've walked with God, I have to be so careful. And I still mess up every once in a while. When somebody does something that really gets me or hurts somebody else that I really love or somebody that's close to me, it's real easy to be like that story you heard a while ago about the bar across the street. You know how easy it is? God, I curse that place in the name of Jesus. You know, that's what we want to do. Even in the flesh, even sometimes walking in the spirit, you're not listening and you want to curse something instead of bless it. You know when somebody treats you wrong? When somebody does something bad to you? It's easy to curse them, isn't it, Mary? It's so easy. But to stop and think, Lord, help me that I will not curse, but I will bless. I don't know how many times I've heard my wife say those statements. This is what we do for the people that are our enemies. We love them. What? Love them? You got to be kidding me. We do good to them. I'm going to do good to them, all right. Do y'all understand? We want to punch them out, right? We bless them. Lord, I don't want them to be blessed. I want them to be broke and poor. I mean, but that's the way we think. And then we pray for them. I think about the times that I have done these things when the Lord would tell me. Somebody does something to you. I know none of y'all besides me has ever been guilty of what I'm fixing to tell you. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Or somebody bumps you in the back end, whatever, or just like whatever. The first words that comes out of your mouth, that idiot, what's wrong with him? I know none of y'all ever done that but me. Is that if you're not careful, is that the first thing that'll come out of your mouth? You'll say something bad about somebody. Is that right? I mean, even as a Christian, we mess up, do we not, Carrie? Why is it so much easier to curse somebody than it is to bless them? Do you know that we even do that to our mates sometimes? You know, we'll say something or do something instead of blessing. If the mate does something that we don't like, instead of blessing them, we'll curse them. I was talking to a man this last week, and he said, I'll get with you next week about this business deal I want to do with you. I said, okay. I said, what happened? I said, you told me several weeks ago you were going to come see me. He said, I've went through the most devastating divorce. He said, this is the wickedest thing that ever happened. I said, how long were you married to that girl? He said, 16 years. Now all of a sudden they're going through a bitter divorce. I told him, I said, you know, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, well, let me tell you one thing. You're not spending enough time with God. If you just went through a bitter divorce, I said, the scripture says you're supposed to forgive up to 490 times. Yeah, thank you. That's tough, isn't it? That's not saying a 490. Okay, Lord, I did it one time today, I'm counting off. I got 300 times now, Lord. Now I only got 190 left, and I'm gonna. That's it. No, that's not what it said. It said a day, right?
Yep.
That is what it says, a day. Forgive 490 times a day. You know how hard that is? I told this boy, actually a man, grown, full-grown man, of course. I told him, I said, if you had known the promises and you'd have did what God said, way back there, whatever started this problem between you and your wife would have went away in one day. You would have never had to go through that. Never would have had to gone through it. But I said, you know, besides that, I said, you know, I'll tell you what my wife does to me. I said, and when I do something she doesn't like, I said, my wife doesn't say a word to me. Not a word. I said, she goes directly to the Lord. And she says, Lord, soften my husband's heart. Make him more like Jesus. And Lord, if there's anything I need to change, show me what it is and I will change. And she said, my husband changes in 10 minutes. And he's become so easy to get along with. Now, what if we didn't know those things, Tony? What if we don't know to do that? And what if all we can do is just curse the other one, huh? That's what we get, isn't it? And so it never works. So, you know, with this group of people that's been in government and what's going on, I'm not even going to begin to share with you what I think is going to happen in the next few months. But I think it's going to be out of this world. Some of it's going to be good and some of it's going to be bad. But anyway, if there's ever a time you need to learn to bless the opponent, it's now. When you pray, please don't speak a curse upon them. They're already cursed enough. Speak blessings. You know, speak good things. Speak what the Word of God says. But let's listen to what Dave was telling us this today. Let's realize we are sons. We're daughters of God. When I look at people that say, like for instance, during the campaigns, there was bad things said about everybody. But they said something like, well, Donald Trump can't even run his own family, so how could he possibly run the United States of America? I looked at that and I listened to that and I thought, you know, I don't know whose eyes they're looking at Donald Trump through. But I'm looking at a man that's got a beautiful family, and every one of them, whether it be male or female, that come up and said something about their dad, it was nothing but good. And they talked about how good Dad does things and how wonderful he is. Now, if you've got a 4, 5, or 6 children and a wife, and all of them have nothing except good to say about you, and it's a confirmed fact, like that man, that one man, the older gentleman, he said, my wife and I was crossing one of the bridges in New York one day, and there was a big limo parked in the side of the road. And so we stopped to help. And they said, you know, most people in New York, nobody stops to help nobody do nothing. And that's true. I've lived in New York, and I can tell you that's true. You don't stop to help nobody because you may get killed. So, but anyway, this older couple stopped. And it happened to be Donald Trump. They really didn't know who he was. But they asked him if they could drive him somewhere or help him. And so he let them do it, and they did. And of course, he got their name and address, said, I'd like your name and address. And they said, okay. So they he said, thank you. That's all I need. Just, you know, you said, thank you. That's good enough. In a few days, the man got a note from his mortgage company that a man had come in and paid off his mortgage. And the man happened to be Donald Trump. Now, does that sound like a nice guy? Would you like to have a man that has that kind of compassion as president of the United States? I would, but the vice president, I mean, the other day he said, you know, boy, this is the kind of president you want to have, or vice president you want to have. He said, first thing, I am a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, man, this is my kind of guy. I can live with this guy. I can love with this guy. I can work for this guy. I can do great things with this man. I can speak blessings over this guy. You know, but the thing about it is, we have got things coming, and we want to be obedient to what the Master is saying. We want to bless people. Try to diligently think. And I'm going to have to work on this diligently myself, because it's so easy to curse somebody when you don't like them. Y'all know what I mean? You know, I mean, I love my wife and I don't want to curse her, but I've even said statements, that, you know, bad things that I shouldn't have said about her. And I'm sure she said one or two about me too. But that's when, yes, Lord, I repent. But the thing about it is, if you'll say something like that against your mate that you really do love, how easy is it to say something like that against somebody that you don't even care for at all? But I don't like being sick, do you?
No.
In fact, Paula was telling me a while ago when she walked in back there, she said, Pastor, I've got to tell you, yesterday, for the last 3 days, she has worked in her yard. She has put out flowers. She has done all kinds of stuff. She has worked and carried those 40-pound bags of mix and stuff. And she has worked like a little horse. And she said, I feel good. I'm not even sore or nothing. And everything's working perfect. And she said, just a few months ago, I could not have done this. She said, for 20 years, I couldn't do this. But now that I'm healed. She said, being healed is wonderful, praise the Lord. But you see, you have to learn to walk in love, don't you? God don't care who you are. He commands you and me as his children to walk in love. He said, this is the way you shall know my children, by their love one for another. So, you know, when your mate does something, like we said there a while ago, you forgive them 490 times a day. But when your mate, and I'm really working on this, and Cheryl does too, though. When my mate says anything, or she may not even say anything. She may just be working out there, working like a little horse on wrapping presents or whatever. And so I walk by and I grab her by the hips and turn her around and kiss her on the cheek. I want her to know I love her. And I do that pretty often. You know, so... Did God tell me to do that?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we think, well, she's busy. She don't have time for me. But regardless, I can always stop and give her a kiss, can't I, Tony? Right. Yeah, I can always stop and give my wife a kiss. We need to really, really, really dwell on blessing everybody. I mean, when you pray, please don't curse anybody, whether it be the Clintons or the Bushes, or it's easy to curse them, and it's hard to bless them. But the Lord did not say that you'll be known by your fruit if you curse somebody. He said you'll be known by your fruit of blessing. You need to bless. I believe I heard a story here a while back that was from Africa, one of the wildest stories I've ever heard about healing. There was a guy down there, a black guy, and he was a good Christian young man, and one of these other groups that was not Christian at all, they caught him out on the street and they beat him within an inch of his life. I mean, just beat him to a pulp. The police, of course, finally got there. They took him to the hospital and everything, and they didn't think at first he was going to live. He was beat up so bad. And the chief of police wanted him to sign. They realized who these men were, and they were going to put them away. And they wanted him to sign a document saying that they could go pick him up and put him in jail. And he says, no, I'm a Christian, and God commands me to forgive. The chief of police said, but sir, these people nearly killed you. We need to lock them up. He said, they'll do this again to somebody else. He said, sir, all I know is the Bible they give me said forgive. So he said, it also says to pray a blessing over them. So give me a piece of paper that I can sign that says, I forgive them for everything they did to me, And I speak a blessing of health and prosperity upon them in Jesus' precious name. And the chief thought he was crazy. But he wouldn't have it no other way. He said, this is what the Word says. Now, is that what the Word says? Forgive and bless? Yes, but why do we not do it? But he did it. I mean, he stood his ground and he blessed those people. He forgave those guys. And he said, chief, I want you to take this to them and tell them that I forgive them. I do not hold anything against them and that I love them because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And he told me to forgive. The chief thought he was crazy, but he tucked that thing. They went and found these guys. And the chief said, I want you boys to know if it was left up to me, I'd put you boys away. But this guy that y'all beat up, he wouldn't have it because he says he's a Christian. He loves Jesus, and Jesus said for him to forgive. So he wants y'all to know he's going to forgive y'all and hold nothing against you, and he's going to pray a blessing upon you. And those guys couldn't believe either what they heard. Those guys said, if that guy is for real, then we need what he's got. And every one of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And after the guys accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the chief went back to the hospital to tell the guy what happened. And they was releasing him from the hospital, and he didn't have a mark or a bruise on his body. He had been completely healed. Is that an awesome story? I mean, awesome. I thought, God, you really mean what you say in your Word. Wow, you know, you just don't think about that. And of course, the other day on a Sid Ross show, I saw a story that I've never seen another one like this on Sid Ross. I mentioned this to Scott and Kim after I saw it, and I think y'all saw that, didn't you? But there was a mother. When we talk about the sin, sickness, relationship that so many people don't believe works at all, just like forgiving, you know, I mean, these guys couldn't come to know Jesus just because this guy forgave them, but they did. And so that tenderness, that love covered a multitude of sins. But this little boy, which was about this big, 10, 12 years old, 14, whatever, he was at home with his two sisters. His mother told him, now, son, I'm going to the grocery store. I'll be gone about an hour. Don't go outside. Stay in the house. Okay, that's a direct command from mother for the boy to stay in the house. Well, the two girls, they didn't have no problems. They were playing, doing something. They were in the house. But the little boy, you know, boys, their mind runs a little different than girls. And, you know, he's run out of something to do in the house real quick. And so he walked out on the front porch, and there's a jug laying there. And so he said, oh, there's a jug, so he's going to play football. You know, so he kicks the jug around. He goes all around the yard kicking the jug and stirring it up and everything. And he has no idea what's in the jug. Finally, after he kicked it around, really shook it around good, he decided to take the cap off to see what was in it. And it was muriatic acid. It was under pressure, sitting out there in the sun. He screwed the lid off of it. When he screwed the lid off, muriatic acid went, blinded him, couldn't see. He started screaming. His sisters come out, saw what had happened. They called mother. Mother come home. Mother did something I've never seen another mother do in my life. Never. She said, son, the reason that blew up on you is because you disobeyed my commands. I commanded you to stay in the house. You broke my authority. You did not do what I said, and that's what gave the devil legal right to do what he did, to blind you and to put your eyes out and to put all this burns all over your face because you did not obey me. Oh, nobody that I ever heard tells their children something like that. But God does. He said, children, obey your parents in what?
The Lord.
In all things so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. Is that written? So anyway, mother, when she took the boy in the house, she said, son, first thing you need to do is you need to ask me to forgive you for your sin. How many of you mothers and daddies ever told your children they have to ask for forgiveness to you? Almost nobody. But when I saw this story, I thought, Man, that's scriptural. I mean, I've never seen a program like this in my life. But this boy said, Mother, I'm so sorry that I disobeyed you. Will you please forgive me for not obeying you? She said, yes, son, I forgive you. Now go in there in the bathroom and wash your face. And that boy went into the bathroom and washed his face and dried with a towel and turned up and looked in the mirror, and his face and eyes were perfect. Isn't that something? You saw that program, didn't you? I saw that program too, and I saw, when I looked at that, I thought, that is the only program I have ever seen in my life that taught that principle except God in His Word. That mother, which was a great Christian woman, she knew the principles of the kingdom, and she knows, and that's why when God tells you to forgive, you know, if I wonder, how many people that has a problem with somebody, whether it be their mate or one of their children or somebody else, that if they do something like that and they knew these principles, and the first thing they would do would say, Lord, forgive me. I sinned. I'm asking my mother to forgive me. I'm asking my daddy to forgive me. Or I'm asking my brothers and sisters. How many times have you ever seen only place I've ever seen this is right here in this place right here with the children that are raised up here is the only place I've ever seen that whenever a child hurts another one, that child goes and asks that child to forgive him. Right. I never seen that outside of the premises right here. But these kids do this. If one of them hurts the other one or does something, the mothers and dads make them go. And of course, they've started out from young. And so now that they're getting a little older, if they do something and hurt somebody's feelings, they don't have to tell them so much. They just go do it. Isn't that amazing? You just know. You just know because you've been taught the principles of the kingdom of God. Forgive. And just like you said a while ago, forgive how many times? 490 times a day. How many people do you know that forgive 490 times a day? How many people do you know has ever forgiven 490 times? That's just like that young man that just went through this terrible, terrible, terrible divorce. Worst thing ever happened to him in his life. If he had only known the principles that I know of the kingdom and had done what the principles say, he'd still be living with that woman and they'd still be married. Is that true? Yeah. People, they forgive. But some people say, I ain't asking her to forgive me. You don't know what she did to me. Do we hear that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we hear that. I ain't asking her to forgive me. You can forget it. So guess what happens? They go through a divorce, and they fall by the wayside. Whereas all they had to do is walk up and say, honey, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Well, yes, I will forgive you. But don't do it again. That's pretty standard in most cases. But if we keep forgiving, and if you even if they do say don't do it again, you say, okay, if I do, I'll forgive again. If we would only learn to bless instead of curse. With what's coming, we really need to learn how to do things God's way. I don't know for sure what's going to happen in the next few days and weeks, but I know that you're going to see a new set of people in government that is already moving at great speed to move into the White House. And when I looked and saw that picture the other day of Donald Trump with his wife and his little 9-year-old son and her 10, whatever he is, and then all those older grown young men and women that have been running a multi-billion dollar corporation for him all over this world. When I see those people and how they get along together, how they walk in love with each other, how they love each other, and how when I saw Brother Jeffries down here at First Baptist Church, when he started talking to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, he was I don't know what he is, Lutheran, or I don't know what he goes to church. I've heard, but I don't know. A Presbyterian or whatever he is. His only problem is he knows almost nothing about God. But when he starts listening to these men, in other words, I know several different groups of men that have called Donald Trump and wanted to come to his tower and sat down with him and talked to him about the principles of the kingdom. And he never turned none of them down. He invited them in. Come on. You guys, come on. And so when I hear these things and these men that come back and are on TBN or Daystar or wherever they are and are talking about how he received them and how he received the things of the kingdom, and he said that we will have a Christian nation. We will be a Christian nation. You know, hey, that's what I want to hear. So I want us to really, really pray for these people as we go along. Every time you think about, if they do something you don't like, don't curse them. Just, I mean, the people that's downtown Dallas and everywhere else that's running up and down the streets, don't curse those people. Bless them. Ask God to give them revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of His Word, because their minds are blinded to the truth. That anytime a woman or a man, either one, but this happened to be a woman. The news guy the other night asked her, the second night of the protest. He says, "Ma'am, why are you protesting Donald Trump? Why do you not want Donald Trump as a president?" She says, "Donald Trump is immoral. And there's nobody that immoral should allow to be president of the United States of America." Now then, ladies and gentlemen, maybe I've been looking at something different. But the other opponent, there was only two, is that right? Or did I miss something here? There was only two, and Donald Trump, yeah, he might have been immoral to a degree. I mean, but let me ask you, I'm going to be just like Jesus. How many of you have never been immoral? Let me let you cast the first stone, huh? Have we all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Yes, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But is he regularly out doing something like that? No. He's got a family at home. He's raising his children. He's guiding his family. He's not a pervert. He's not at all. But he does want to do things that's right. But the other opponent, y'all understand that they're, you know, if there's anybody on this earth that needs prayer of revelation, wisdom, and understanding, it's the Clintons. Yeah. Not only her, but him too. Yeah. I mean, they need the knowledge and wisdom of God, because obviously they don't have it. And they're not going to get it unless we, the church, pray for them. Do you know that those people could live their life on this earth and die and go to hell, all because you and me did not pray and ask God to the blinders that are on their eyes where they cannot see? Because God says if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. If there's any loss. So here's the thing. When you say, bless, well, that's usually not what we say. We say, okay, for Hillary and Bill, God curse them. In fact, I hate to say this, but there was a guy on the news last night. I watched a little of it last night. And there was, or no, it wasn't, it was night before last. That's right, night before last. This guy's stepdaughter had been killed by some guy here in Dallas. Killed her. And they hadn't found him yet. But they asked the stepfather what he thinks about this situation. And this is what he said. "I wish to God that that man or whoever did this would burn in hell forever." Does it sound like forgiveness?
No.
Not at all. Do you know that statement may send him to hell?
Yeah.
You know, that statement could send that man to hell. And he does not know that God demands and requires forgiveness before you can go to heaven. But a lot of the church don't know that, do they? But if the Word of God says, if you do not forgive them, neither will I forgive you.
That's what it says.
That is what that says in the carry, and that's plumb scary.
Plain, yes.
Yeah, I would hate to think about it. I've cursed somebody like that killed my daughter. And then I have to go to hell forever and spend eternity in hell because of a stupid statement I made about this guy. Whereas God says, if I'm his child, I need to be praying for this guy so he can get saved. Because guess who made you? God. Guess who made that wicked guy that killed? God. So Does God love that one any different than he does you? No. Does he want both of y'all to spend eternity in heaven with him? Yes, but if we don't pray, that guy can't get there. If we don't pray, and just think, if you don't pray for people and you'd produce no fruit for the kingdom, somebody said, well, I just won't do nothing then. I just won't pray for nobody. And I've heard people say that. I really have. I mean, so I'm going to get in trouble, so I ain't going to pray for them. I had a guy one time says, I read in the Bible one time where that if you're a teacher of God's word, you're going to be judged more so. And that's why he said, when they come and ask me to teach a Bible study class, I said, no, I ain't going to do it. So guess what? He doesn't understand the part where God says, produce fruit for my kingdom. Those that bear no fruit for the kingdom, I cut them off and bring them home. So the guy only lives to be 50 years old instead of getting to be 80 years old. So see, because he would not produce fruit for the kingdom of God, he thinks, I'm going to be safe. I ain't going to do nothing for God. And he doesn't realize that's why he's going to die at 50. And when he gets home, how many rewards do you think he'll get? None. There'll be no rewards. I mean, the scripture says for you and me, he says, there will be a day of judgment for every one of us, whether it be good or bad. So guess what? Everything I've ever committed, and I've tried to research my life. Of course, when I got saved at 11, I was cleansed in the blood, and I was redeemed, and I was forgiven for everything I'd done by the time I was 11. But now after 11, I have to repent. So when I do things that's not right, so say I got saved when I was 11, now I'm clean. I got on a white robe. I mean, man, I'm shining. I got everything doing. I walk outside the house and step in a mud puddle. You know what I mean when I step in a mud puddle? Somebody does something that military guys, you know. We get them guys. I mean, it's amazing, you know, at what we do, and we don't even know what we're doing. But we have to realize that when we make a mistake, which all of us do, to get rid of that, and it's where it doesn't hang on to you forever, you have to repent. So when you repent, now that takes that blemish off of your robe and makes you white and clean again. So as you go through life, you need to make sure that you're speaking blessings over yourself and you're repenting of all sin known and unknown and keeping your robe clean and white and pure. When the day comes, you know, it's not like one of these days you're going to say, and I've had lots of people tell me this too, well, I'm not going to serve God now. I'll just wait till I get to be 70, and then I'll decide to make Jesus Lord of my life. And they don't realize, just like that guy was on Daystar the other night. He was a cowboy, and he was roping. He rode up, and he'd rope three calves, and he's a real cowboy. I mean, you could tell this guy's a really slim, tough-looking cowboy. And he rode up there, and I must have been about 60 years old, 65 years old, roping calves. And he rides up into the chute to get to go out for the fourth one, and that's it. He just fell off the horse right on the ground, crunch. Heart totally stopped. Didn't even know what happened. He was dead for over an hour before they finally brought him back. When they brought him back, they asked him what happened. He said, did you go anywhere, do anything, see anything? He says, no. He said, I was just fixing to get ready to rope that calf, and all of a sudden, it's just over. I mean, he had no warning, none, nothing. So if you're waiting to say, I'll repent just before I go home, you may not have any chance. So you need to make sure on a regular basis that you're asking God to wash you in the blood, cleanse you, purify you, and forgive you for all sin. And Lord, if there's anything I have committed, if there's any sin I have committed that where I fell short, I'm asking you to forgive me and wash me in the blood. Cleanse me, purify me, while I'm still able to talk. Yeah. You know, because there's no guarantee. Do you know there's no guarantee that I can make another step? You know that? I mean, does God guarantee you anything? No. I mean, your heart can be beating right now, and it can be stopped in 1 second. Can't it, Max? We're not guaranteed nothing. So you really, really, really want to make sure that in these last days, or especially these days that we're in now, that you're walking in obedience to his word, you're speaking blessings upon yourself, your family, And when the Lord tells us to pray for those in the government, that's what he means, and pray and ask God to bless them, give them knowledge and wisdom. Just think, if Donald Trump was standing up there to make some kind of a magnificent decision for the whole United States that might impact the whole world, if we had not prayed as a church, he might make the wrong decision. But if we had prayed and asked God to bless him and his staff and give them knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding of the mighty word of God and make sure that he makes all the right decisions, then out of his heart will come from his mouth, and the decisions that he makes will be from God. And it'll happen because we ask. Now, so we just don't realize the power and authority we have as the body of Christ. You know, I mean, you can literally change the world. Like I told that young boy that had that got that divorce. I told him, I said, if you had known about what I know and you'd have come see me a few months ago, I could have saved you this bitter divorce. And I mean, he looked at me kind of dumbfounded and said, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, I know how to pray and change the heart of anyone. I could do that. Yeah, I mean, and I know many of you heard me tell this story again, but you know, I told this story in church one time a year or so after Cheryl and I got married. And when we left, she said, honey, you got to tell that story in every church we go to. She said that people have got to know how that works. But when you realize that you're a son and you have power and the power that God's given you to change people. You know, if I didn't believe that my prayers was going to change you when I prayed, I'd find me something else to do. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Why pray if you don't think it's going to change somebody? But that's the attitude that we go at it most of the time. So it doesn't work. But when we go at it as a son of God, and I'm going to tell you how I did this. I was on Daystar Television on the prayer lines. And our show went on the prayer lines. And whenever the telephone number came up on screen, my telephone rang, and a guy said, this is so-and-so. I need prayer. I said, okay, how can I help you, sir? And I told him, my name's Thurman Scrivener, and so how can I help you? He says, my wife left me and went to work in a strip club. I said, well, one thing about it, she's not saved. He said, no, she's not saved. He said, when we got married, well, neither one of us saved. But he said, I got saved, but said after I got saved, she didn't like it. And so she left, and she left me and the kids, and she went to work in this club, and she's stripping in this club. I said, well, sir, it's obvious the devil has blinded her mind to the truth. I said, now the scripture clearly says that we have power and authority over this devil, and he has to be subject to us. We're sons of God. And so I said, now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to remove the scales from her eyes, where she can see the truth. And then after she sees the truth, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to convict her of sin. And then I'm going to ask the Lord to have her call you, and you go down and get her and bring her home and bring her to lead her to Christ, and then get her saved, and then get her filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to ask the Lord to let you two get remarried again with your children and everything be okay. He said, wow, you believe God can do all that? Mary, do you believe God can do all that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. We know because he's God, right? And we're sons. Did he say we could ask for what?
Anything.
Isn't that something? All these wonderful promises God said we could ask for and we don't do it. So anyway, I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of hell that's blinding this woman's mind. I command those spirits to leave her, come out of her. And I said, I ask you, Lord, now to reveal the truth to her, the word of God, just like scripture says. And I said, Lord, thank you for convicting her of sin, drawing her into the kingdom of God. And I said, now, Lord, thank you for sending her husband over to pick her up and bring her home and lead her to Christ and let them get saved, get remarried, and then let their family be restored. Now, what did God say we could ask for?
Anything.
So is that anything? So then I said, thank you, Lord, for doing it for him. And I said, it's done. So I hung up the phone. All this took 5 or 10 minutes. I hung up the phone, and of course, I prayed for several other people in that hour. Next Friday night, when we go on the line, whenever we get on the line, he says, my phone was the first one to ring. He said, I need to talk to Thurman Scrivener. I said, well, sir, that's me. I said, how can I help you? He said, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay, so how can I help you? He said, you don't remember me. I said, no, son, I pray to lots of people. I don't remember people's names. But I said, how can I help you? He said, I'm the guy that called in last week that had the wife that was the strip dancer. I said, okay, I remember that. I don't usually remember too many things, but I don't get too many strip dancers, you know. So I said, I do remember this. I said, so what did the Lord do for you? Now, see, I fully expected him to have a good report. Because I told him, I said, call me back with your praise report. I know you're going to have one. So he said, you know, sir, within an hour after I called you and you prayed for me, he said, my ex-wife called me and said she was here down at the club and it's like scales fell off of her eyes and she couldn't believe she's stripping in a club before men. So she said she turned in her uniforms and called me and asked me if I'd come get her. So she said, I drove down there and picked her up. She come, got in the car with me. I took her home. Said, I led her to Christ. Now, did I ask the Lord to do that?
Yes.
Yes, soften her heart and let her see. And he said, the first thing that happened, I led her to Jesus and got her saved. He said, then the next morning, he said, we went down and got us a new marriage license. And said, 3 days later, we went and got remarried. And he said, everything in our home has been absolutely wonderful this week. I said, by the way, I didn't ask, but how long had your wife been gone? He said, 14 years. What can God do? Now, why do you think God didn't let me know he had been gone 14 years? You know why, don't you, Paula?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have had enough faith. See, I guarantee if he'd have said, now, my wife's been gone 14 years and she won't hear me or listen, I'd have said, just throw her away and find you a new one. See, everybody has a limit on your faith. Is that right? I thought she'd been gone 2 or 3 weeks. You know, I didn't have a clue she'd be gone 14 years. But is time anything for God?
No.
No.
That's the power.
Do what, honey?
I said that's the power. It's in God.
Yeah. I mean, if I guarantee the reason God didn't let me know she'd be gone 14 years because he knew exactly what I would have done. And I would have. I don't mind telling you, Tony. I mean, if they'd have told me that girl had been gone 14 years, I'd have said, well, just get rid of her and find you a new one. You know, I mean, good grief. Even God couldn't bring her back after 14 years. But that's a shame on me, right? It is a shame on me. You know, because we have to realize, as Dave is trying to pound into our hearts, who are we? Who are we, Michael? We're sons. And if we're sons, the Master, he's our King. He's our daddy. And we can ask him for anything and he'll do it. Isn't that something? But we don't call on him often enough. But in the time that's coming, we're going to need to learn to call on daddy. We're going to need to call on the Father in the name of Jesus. We're going to need to not have any problems. I don't care where you are, who you're dealing with. If somebody, just like I was years ago, whenever I prayed with people in the name of Jesus, and whenever that guy came over that day and told me, said, Thurman, you have got to stop praying for people and talking to people about Jesus. You got to stop it. I said, well, absolutely, forget that. I said, there ain't no way you're going to stop me. He said, we're going to fire you. The CEO told me to come over here and threaten you with termination. I said, well, let me clean out my desk. I'm out of here. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. If you don't want me here, praise God, I don't want to be here. I said, I don't work for you guys anyway. I work for Jesus. I said, I opened the drawer and started putting my stuff in my drawer, in my bag. And he said, are you really quitting? I said, yes. He said, Thurman, hold it. Don't do this. I said, what do you mean? You told me I'm fired. He said, the CEO said, threaten him, but don't fire him because said he's the best engineer we got. Isn't that something? They want their money, don't they, Tony?
Yeah.
They just don't want what we got, but we have to stand firm with the word, right?
Yeah.
We stand firm. So after I got fired, one of the guys, he was going to uproar. When he found out that they had fired me and told me I had to go with this older woman. Well, she wasn't near as old as I was, but anyway, this elderly lady is probably 60 in the HR department. Whenever I said, sign these papers right here for your release. So I looked at it and read it, and there was 5 or 6 things on there, the reason they were terminating me, and everything had to do with my God. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, let me sign this. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, don't you realize that at your age, you'll have a trouble finding another job, especially one that pays as much money as we pay you? I said, ma'am, I never worked for y'all in the first place. I work for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't know what he's got for me, but he's got another plan. I'm fixing to get a promotion. That's the way you got to look at life as a son, right? You don't take nothing for granted. You know who your daddy is. You know that he's going to take care of you. And so I left that place and I told the boys that it worked for me. I told them, I said, now boys, this is all God. I want y'all to know this is totally God. I don't want to see any uprising. I don't want y'all to say nothing bad about your company. I want you to continue to bless this company and do a good job for them because they're paying your wages. Work hard for them. Don't say anything. I said, this is totally God. I said, I don't know what God's doing here, but he's going to send me somewhere else. So I said, don't worry. I'm going to be okay. And of course, it wasn't long till God sent me all over the world. He sent me to Europe. He sent me to Norway. He sent me to England. He sent me everywhere. And then he sent me Cheryl, and she went with me on some of those trips. At first, I went by myself. But it's amazing what God will do and how he'll do it, and some of the miracles. When we were in Germany, that's the first and only time that Cheryl and I had so many people, especially women, to pray over with breast cancer, that she had to have an interpreter with her and I had to have one with me, and we had two separate lines, just me and her. But there's no telling how many people God healed in that church that night. Unbelievable. No, it ain't unbelievable, Lord. Forgive me. You see how easy that slipped out? You see how we're going to have to work at this? It's not unbelievable, is it? It's believable. It is awesome. But you see how hard you have to work at this. The Lord just let that slip out so easy. And I was trying to be conscious of what I'm saying, too. But he did that just to let you know that there's hope for all of us. You know, if Thurman does that, you can be assured you're probably going to mess up, too. But I hope you don't. So walk holy and walk in obedience to his word. And pray for our government offices and our police department. Everything, anytime anything happens anywhere, don't speak a curse, because that's what we're used to doing. Yeah. It's so easy to stop and speak a curse. Is that right, Max? Yeah. It's so easy to do that. Instead of speaking a curse over somebody, just speak as you're driving down the road and you hear something on the radio or somebody's done something crazy or you see it. Just start, Lord, yes, absolutely. Just like what Carrie's just doing. Lord, bless them. Lord, I thank you for sending warring angels to watch over the people, protect them, and keep them. Because, see, we have angels sent to our charge. Those angels don't do anything if we don't ask them to do something. But they're there. They're what?
They voted.
Oh, yeah, they voted. Yeah, praise the Lord. We won't, now that we have all voted and seen it happen, now it's going to be a battle to keep it all going in the right direction. But we're going to do it, are we not? We're going to walk holy. We're going to walk in obedience to God's word and remembering that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when we pray, there's nothing he withholds, nothing, absolutely nothing he withholds from his obedient children. So you can pray and ask for anything and he'll do it.
Yes.
We have prayed that. Okay, let's stand up to do this. Let's stand up. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to send warring angels to protect Donald Trump and his family.
And the vice president.
And the vice president, yes. And in fact, start out. You start out for me.
Yes. Lord Jesus, we just give you praise, glory, and honor, Father God. We thank you, Father, you said in your word, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal the land. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We've repented of our sins, Father God. Therefore, we declare, Father God, that our land be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We thank you, Father, that your hand be upon the leadership of our nation, Father God. For Trump, Father, we turn over the transition position to the Vice President. Vice President making the decision regarding the cabinet members. Father, we ask protection from both Trump and Vice President, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we decree in Jesus' name, Father, we bind, as it's written in your word, Father God, that whatsoever we shall bind on earth, bound in heaven. Therefore, Father God, in Jesus' name, we bind all assassination attempts in Jesus' name. We bind all activity and enemy against these individuals in Jesus' name. Regarding the cabinet, Father, we bind in Jesus' name, Father God, in Jesus' name, we bind. the strong man in areas of the destruction of all these individuals' lives, Father. The covenant members and their families in Jesus' name. Father, you also declare in Jesus' name, Father God, whatsoever we should loose on earth be loosed in heaven. Father, we declare in Jesus' name your ministry angels are come by the Father Ghost and the blood of Jesus accompany these men, Father, now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. From the lying down and the rising up, they're going out and they're coming in, Father God, in Jesus' name. That you be Lord of this nation once again, Father God. Raise up godly leaders in this nation to stand in prayer regarding these individuals in Jesus' name, Father God. We pray, Father, change of the pulpits in this nation, Father God, to holiness and righteousness in Jesus' name. The honoring of your word, Father, let it proclaim once again from sea to shining sea, Father God, from one coast to the east coast, the north and south, Father God, in this nation. Turn righteousness around in this nation, Father God, that your people will be bold as a lion and the homeless as a dove in Jesus' name, Father God.
Praise the Lord. We're on a roll. We can't quit on that. Let's have another man somewhere. I don't care who you are, and then we'll let the men pray, and then we'll let some of the women pray. But let's don't stop right there. That's too good a prayer. Wow. Somebody pray in the name of Jesus. One of you guys do it.
Lord Jesus, I just come to you to ask for wisdom, honor. Lord, we lift up this presidency. Lord, we lift up godly men to fill the cabinet position.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you to put godly men in all positions, Lord, to restore this great nation back to a God-fearing nation.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every one of the people that are being considered, that their heart is right and focused on you. We glorify your name. Lord, we know you have people in position. Return this nation to a God-fearing nation that made it so great.
Yes,
Lord, understanding you, our nation to be on its knees to worship you and glorify you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Another man. Let's have another man. Maybe on the other side over here. Another man. Pray. Anybody. Somebody.
Father, I just want to thank you and just praise you also, and put on my heart for all of us to be reminded in our prayer time from day to day, week to week, to continue this kind of prayer, which will multiply what we're doing today a thousandfold and beyond. I also want to pray so much for just continued wisdom and the movement of your spirit to bring the cabinet members together that you want in there, dear Father, and that they would boldly be who they are in Christ. And just, again, as we're all trying to pray and believe the same way, for wisdom to be brought out when decisions are made that are from you. It says in your word that if we'll pray and we'll intercede for our leaders and those in government, that we can lead a quiet and tranquil life. That's what we want.
Peace.
And I just pray that, dear Father, in accordance with your words, that your words can come forth and we can experience that in our lives. But again, just that you remind us, this is just not today, but remind us over and over again to continue these kind of prayers so that we multiply and you move, dear Father, as we will pray according to your word in faith. And I just want to thank you and praise you for that. In the precious mighty name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior.
Now the Lord says, in the last days I pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters. Now let's hear a daughter or two pray. Let's one of you two of you girls pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare right now for all the other countries in the world that they see us as an awesome, wonderful nation that's rising up, and that they can trust us and be with them and be united together. Father, we just thank you for all those that are involved, all the leaders around the world, that they join hands, that they see to make all the nations that they can work together.
Lord.
Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for peace and prosperity in all the countries. We bless every one of the countries that are in the UN together. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for blessing all those leaders and all of their cabinets too. In Jesus' mighty name.
Father God, I stand before you in the name of Jesus. We come to you with a repentant heart, a pure heart to you, and we just declare now that this is a victory for Israel in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Blessing Israel, taking the peace of Jerusalem, and I have been thinking all week. I know that Yahoo and the whole team over there are so excited to have you back in charge here in the United States with this administration, and we pray that lives are so touched with Israel. We pray for peace and protection and perfect wisdom of Israel. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, you said in Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly into your throne room of grace. We want to praise you and worship you and thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do for this nation. We thank you for the mercy you've given to this nation now that you're bringing in a godly team into the presidency. Father, we rebuke every single spirit of assassination, every Judas spirit, every evil spirit that's trying to get into this cabinet. There's been prophecy. We come against that, that they're speaking, that there's going to be some evil that's trying to get close to Donald Trump, and we cut that off right now. We command it to leave the White House. He will choose the right people. They will be godly men and women. They will walk in your ways, and they will make decisions and having wisdom, knowledge, revelation, and understanding of your ways, Lord, that our country is going to be a godly country. We've always been a Christian country, and we're going to continue to be a Christian country.
Yes, Lord.
And we're going to, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over Donald Trump, Michael Pence, and all the cabinets and their families. We command warring angels to walk around each of them, waves of fire, and your white light protection at all times, that no one can get near them. No one can touch them. No evil can come against them and their family. And we thank you, Lord, that we're standing strong as a nation and that we're going to continue to pray for them and that they are going to be the leaders, the godly leaders that you want in there, that we're finally going to have a godly king. Thank you, God, in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, all these devout Muslims that Obama put in office, I ask you to unblind their minds and their eyes, including Obama himself, that you would take away the blinders. Satan, I command you to take your blinders off of all those devout Muslims, and including Obama, that, Lord, you would send the precious Holy Spirit and begin to convict all of those men of sin, and that they don't know the true God. And that may every one of those men that's been put in office as a devout Muslim become a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Lord, we want them to be good Christians, men that'll love you and they'll see the wrong they were in. And Lord, you've done that for many, many men and women that were Muslims. You've brought them to the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we know what the Scripture says, so we take authority over those spirits. We kick those spirits out. And we ask you to send the precious Holy Spirit to convict them all of sin and draw them all into the kingdom and fill them with the Holy Ghost and use them mightily for your kingdom. Now, Lord, we realize now that we are the army of God. We are the sons and daughters, and we're an army. Now, every one of us in this room may not be a soldier, but lots of us are frontline front runners. And Lord, put us wherever you want us. Use us wherever you want us. You know, use us mightily to pull down strongholds, to see great and mighty things happen in this war that we're going to be in right here at home. May we not bend over backwards, no way. May we just go forward in the kingdom of God, and may we be men and women of God that will pray and kick out devils and do great things, because our weapons are not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Lord, help us to do that and to be army soldiers and warriors and everything, to be whatever position you want us to be in. We're giving you our bodies today, to our souls are yours, and use us for your glory to do whatever you want to do. And we give you all the praise and honor to be your sons and daughters. Now use us for your glory and bless us this week as we go forth, and use us to bring many people into the kingdom of God and gloriously save people and heal people everywhere we walk. May you use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want you to pray for Israel. We are pro-Israel. You know, we love the Israeli people, because God says anybody that blesses Israel, I will bless them. And I don't know about you, but I like being blessed. I think we all love being blessed, so it's real easy to bless Israel, because we want to help Israel. And who knows in the future what we will be able to do to help Israel. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these blessings. And we're so grateful that you are our King and our Lord and our God. And thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for washing us in the blood. And thank you that you've called us out to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And, Lord, may we be about your business and doing everything you want us to do, as we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen.